Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I prayed a lot about this chapter. A lot. I've heard different things about Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. They deal with charity. And I've heard people say that we're supposed to give. Well, that's what the Bible's saying here. I don't want to go overboard with it to where that you give to everybody that comes down the road and you're squandering the money, giving it away. You're giving your finances and your food and all away. I prayed a lot about this. So let's go through here and I'll tell you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be like good." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day given to us, Lord, and thank you for the blessings in our lives. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for your salvation, Lord, you've given to us, you've freely given to us. Thank you for your words you've given to us, Lord, that we can read and meditate upon, we can lean upon, we can draw closer to you, Lord. Thank you for it. We thank you for the opportunity tonight that we have to come worship you and help us to please take the thoughts of this world out of our hearts, out of our minds, Lord. Help us to truly worship you tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the ways you answer our prayers, Lord, when we come to you and we ask that you be with us tonight, Lord, as we worship you, that you would be with your words that goes out, as you promised that we're not returned void, Lord. We bring that promise to you tonight, Lord. You take me out of the message and just show us what your word is saying, Lord. Just mold and make us as you see fit for us to be. You would save those here tonight that are lost. Help us be witness to them as we ought to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray and ask these things. Amen. Verse 1 here says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it in many days." I read this and I read it. I've read this chapter. Man, I lost count how many times I've read this thing. Praying about it, trying to figure out what he's saying. Because, you know, my first thought was you cast bread upon water. When you put bread on water, I don't like soggy bread. I don't like it. So, you cast bread upon water, it gets mushy, comes apart, and goes away. It's gone. That's what it does. It's gone. It's wasted. You just wasted the bread. But in a way, you know, he says here, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." And I'm just going to read you here what I have written down. In some messages, I can make an outline. Some of them I can't. I just can't do an outline. I just can do it in paragraph form, and this is one of those. So it's going to be hard for me to pick out certain things. I may read a lot tonight because it's all in paragraph form. But after you have taken care of your tithe and your family's needs, you should give to some of those who are less fortunate than you. Now this is the way... Well, let me just say this first. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, if you will... Keep your place here in Ecclesiastes. We have some verses we want to look at in all this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And I will say this. Just bear with this here for a little bit, okay? Because I've heard this preached to where that if you don't give anytime someone asks, you're wrong. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that's right. And that's not what I'm saying. Okay, so I just want to point that out. Just bear with me a little bit, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Okay? Now, you'll see where the Lord is going with it. I believe that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." But we have some responsibilities first that we have to do first before we get to anyone else. Number one, we need to tithe. Number two, we need to take care of our family. Do not deny the faith. You need to take care of your family. This is what it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. If you don't, you deny the faith and you're worse than an infidel. Okay? Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, with all that said, this is what I believe. And it's casting your bread upon the waters. It is not so much that we give to the poor. I mean, okay? But that our attitude is such that we know where the things we have came from, and that we are not trusting in the things that we have, but are trusting in the Lord for the things that we need. He says, to throw thy bread upon the waters. Why does he say that? He says, because I can give you what you're giving away. Trust me. You take care of your responsibilities first. You give your tithe and your offerings. You take care of your family. And then with what is left, you throw that upon the waters. And I'll take care of you. Okay? Because it's not that we're hoarding. It's not that we're grabbing hold of things. Now, I did look up some other scriptures in here in Ecclesiastes because I did think it was kind of neat that all through this book so far, we've heard a different thing. Okay? All through this book so far, we've heard a different thing to do. And it's not contradicting itself. Okay? But all through the book, he has told us to enjoy the good of our labor. So what I want to do is I want to go look at those verses where he tells us to enjoy the good of our labor and look and see why he's telling us something different now. Okay? That's what I want to do. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And verse 24. It says, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God." So we should eat, drink, and we should enjoy the hand of our labor. We should enjoy it. In chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Okay? You're not just enjoying the labor you're doing, but you're enjoying the benefit of your labor. Okay? You're enjoying what you're getting because of your labor. You're enjoying your income. You're enjoying what the Lord has given to you. Okay? In chapter 5 and verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." So he's telling us here, look, you have to work, you ought to eat, you ought to drink, and you ought to enjoy the work the Lord's given to you and the benefit of that work. You ought to enjoy it. Okay? And then, let's read verse 19 here. It says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, he hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." So he's given us finances to enjoy. Okay, that's what he's done. In chapter 8 and verse 15. Chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun." Now we understand here too, I want to remind you that this book of Ecclesiastes is written by the flesh. Okay? So, we need to enjoy the work that we're doing. We need to enjoy the benefit of that work. But in enjoying that benefit, there are still some responsibilities that we need to do. As we said, number one, I believe number one will always be taking care of what the Lord says. Okay? Giving your tithe and your offering first and taking care of your family. And you may say, well, I have to take care of my family before I can give tithe and offerings. You know, if you take care of the Lord's thing first, He's going to really help you take care of your family. But if you decide to put the Lord second, you're not only not taking care of your family, you're hurting your family. You're teaching your children to do the same. And that's going to hurt them. You're going to hurt your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, all down the line. So we need to give the Lord first. We need to enjoy what we're having. Now all these verses tell us to eat, drink, and to enjoy the fruit of our labor. And this is my opinion. So be careful with it. My opinion. But the Lord knows the way we are. And when we enjoy something too much, we begin to forget where it came from and who it was that provided it to us. We begin to think that we are the ones that provided it. We begin to think that it's ours. It's mine. That's the attitude we get sometimes. And I worked hard for that money. What are you doing coming up asking me for it, you bum? We're untrusting. Oh, and sometimes with good reason. You know, sometimes with good reason. He tells us here to give the poor so our attitude will be kept right and not on the things of this world, but on the things of the Lord. We need to remember where the things we have came from and who provided them and not be attached to them. And I think that's what he's doing. Because all the way through here, he's saying, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy the things of your flesh. Be happy. Hey, wait a minute. Within moderation now. Because you also need to think of some others. Look around you. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15. This, you know, we don't need to be attached to things of this world. You know why? Because of what Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 15 says here. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. We're not taking it with us. We're not taking any of this stuff with us. It's all going to be burned up. It's going to be gone away. You know, we don't need to be attached to this thing, to the finances, to the food, to all these things that we have. We need to be more attached to what the Lord's will is. Saying a part of that back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. For thou shalt find it after many days. Our lives be much happier when we're not trusting in the things we have, but are trusting the God which can give us those things. The blessings will be in our attitude. I remember whenever we first moved up here, we were living in that double wide trailer that where Patty's living at now, in that same place. And I was waiting tables at Ponderosa, making good money, making real good money, making tips. And always had dollars, had gobs of dollars in my drawer there, a bunch of them. But never had any money. Kept running out of money. And I was telling Mom one day about it. You know, it's strange. I'm making money. I keep up with the money I'm making, but somebody's got to be going in there and getting it. Something's going on because it's always gone. And we sat down. Mom sat me down, and we got to talking about it. Every time I went anywhere, I pretty much bought a soda and candy bar. There's $2. Gone every trip you take. Every time I got gas, I bought something. I always went somewhere, restaurant. And I always wanted something, so I was buying stuff. And then when it would come time for tithe, I hardly had enough money to pay tithe. But I'd pay it. But I'd be thinking about what I could be doing with it. You know? So my attitude was wrong. Right? I was making the money. I was getting the money. I was spending the money. I was enjoying the money. But my attitude was wrong. So then we had a long talk about that and thought about it. And she said, what you need to do, you need to put your tithe back first. Put that back first. Out of every day you bring home tips, you take that money and you put it in this envelope, and then comes time, that's what you give for your tithe. That's what you do. So I started doing that. Lo and behold, a few months went by, and you know what I had in my drawer? I had some money. My attitude changed. I was given the tithe first, and it was there. This other was mine to spend. But then what I found, when my attitude got right, I didn't want to spend it. I didn't want to go blow it on the stuff I was blowing it on. My attitude changed. My desires began to change. You know, I began to see how the Lord was working. You'll find it after many days. You'll find it after many days. Sometimes you'll find it in your attitude and a blessing. The Lord will bless you in a better attitude. The blessings will be in our attitude we have, and in seeing those that we can help go on and help others. Have you ever helped anybody, and then you were wondering, man, should I have even done that? I don't know. They're not even going to use it right. But then you see them grow up, and then they do the same thing, you know, and they help. Look in, keep your place in Ecclesiastes. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I think sometimes, I know about me, and that's what I'm going to talk about right here. I know that I forget about this. I do. Because when someone comes up and they ask for money or ask for a handout or ask for some food or gas or whatever, I immediately don't like them. I'm just being honest with you. I immediately don't trust them. My first thought is, get a job. You know? But Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, or verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, I think about that sometimes. Let's go on here. We help those who are less fortunate than us. And sometimes could be helping an angel of the Lord, and we'll get a special blessing and reward for doing so. You know, sometimes. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 2, he says here, give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight. I struggle with this one. I struggle with every verse in this. Struggle with these, praying about them. Now I tell you what I believe it means. What I believe the Lord's laid on my heart that it means. Seven in the Bible has always had a special meaning. The number seven has always had a special meaning in the Bible. I think it's neat that you look at the candlestick, has seven candles. There's all different. You just look up the word seven in the Bible, and you'll see all the different places it's used, and the different cases it has in here. Seven in the Bible has a special meaning. And in this case, I believe it means we should give to the Lord His portion first before anything else is given to anyone. I believe that's what we should do first. And I've already said that in verse 1. I do understand that seven sometimes also means, what I've heard it means, I don't know it. We were back up on that and say that I've heard that it also means continuous. You are to continue doing this. And it could mean that. But look in Matthew chapter 26. Keep your place there in Ecclesiastes there again. But Matthew 26. And we want to start reading in verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, isn't that kind of like what Ecclesiastes is talking about here? You're supposed to give to the poor. But look at this. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, in the whole world there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. And when I'm looking at this, the poor is always going to be here. Whether we're here or not, the poor is going to be here. But we only have this opportunity to serve the Lord. We only have this opportunity right now in our life to give to the Lord what we need to give to Him. We need to give to Him His portions first. He needs to come first. And then with what is left, I believe that's where also to eight comes in. That we give to the eight. After we have given to the Lord, we can give to the poor. Next, with what we have left. Doing this will keep our minds on the one that is important in all the things we have or on the things we are doing. Because if you remember, there are some people in the Bible that they got stuck doing it the other way. You remember them? The Lord called them hypocrites in the synagogues. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. They got to where they were doing it. That was the most important thing to them. It's charity. Alms. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's the way we're to give charity. It's to be... Now, we're to take care of the Lord's things first. We're to follow the Lord, give Him His tithe, His offering, and what the Lord calls us to do, we need to do that. And after that is done, then I believe that's where the eight comes in and we can give to the eight. And that will keep our attitude right, that the Lord has always got to be number one. When the Lord is number one, He'll set the others in place. And it goes on in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. He says, Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For, or because thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. We do not know how long we will have opportunity to serve the Lord. When the Lord blesses us with financial blessings, we don't know how long they will last. So we don't use them, so we need to use them for His will. When we give to the poor, we don't know how the Lord is going to use what we're giving to the poor. We don't know. I'm going to jump ahead here and I'm going to say this now. When we're doing everything for the Lord first, okay? Like I said, with my tithe, me giving to my tithe first, setting that aside, my attitude changed. Our attitude will change. And I believe this. I believe that when someone comes in those doors and they say, Look, I need some help. You know what I think will happen? I think the Lord will show us if we need to help Him or not. That's what I think. I believe that. Because we don't want to squander His money. We don't want to squander what the Lord's given to us. The Lord may lay it on our heart to give it to Him, but then we just need to leave it alone. Give it to Him. Don't expect it back. Don't worry about what they're doing with it. We need to do what the Lord lays on our heart to do. And I know I'm jumping ahead of that because I got that written further down in here, but I want to say it now about that. Because we don't know how the Lord's going to do it, what the Lord's going to do with them. When we give to the poor, we don't know how the Lord is going to use what we do in their life or even in ours. We don't know. We don't know what He's going to do. Just think about it. If we don't give sometimes we could be hindering ourselves from getting a blessing. I mean, think about it. I would a lot rather, and this has been my outlook at work, I would a lot rather be taken advantage of by the guys that work under me than me taking advantage of one of them. I would a lot rather that happen. I could live with that better, knowing that they took advantage of me than me taking advantage of them. It'll upset me, but it won't upset me as much as me doing it. We could lose our finances at any time. Or the one that we could have helped could come upon some trouble that we could have really been a great help to them. I mean, there's a lot of ways the Lord can use this. But I believe that the Lord will lead us in what we need to do. What I want to do is I want to give you an example here. What I'm thinking about, because I'll probably forget it, in helping people and the Lord leading in those things. Sometimes, when we talk about this, we usually talk about money. I don't think it's talking about just money. Okay? That's where everybody goes with it. I think it sometimes it's talking about maybe food. It could even be talking about advice. That you need to give your advice. And the example I'm thinking of that I have written down here is Matt Bass. Okay? He's a very outspoken guy. Owns Crumbly Burger there in Troy. He had a woman and her son come in, strangers, driving through Troy. Never seen them before, probably never see them again. They come in and Matt's there by himself. The store is pretty much empty. We got a couple guys there. But the lady and her son come in. This boy has two earrings in, long, curly hair. And Matt sees that it's her mother and her son. But he walks up there at the counter and says, "What can I do for you ladies?" And the boy says, "I'm a guy." He says, "Yeah, I know, but you have earrings in and hair. I thought you wouldn't be a lady, so I just call you one." Never seen strangers. Never seen them before. And the mom kind of chuckled, and the boy didn't. He didn't think it was very funny. They went ahead and ordered, and they sat there and ate. That was the last time Matt seen him. And it was a few months later he got a phone call. It was the mother called Matt. She looked up the phone number, the Crumbly Burger, called Matt and said, "You probably don't remember me, but my son and I came in there to eat one day, been a few months ago, and you were very slow. And you asked, 'What would you ladies like to eat?'" And she told the whole story again to him. Matt said, "Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And I told your son that you look like a lady, so I'm going to call you one." And she said, "I have been trying to get him to cut his hair for a long time. And he will not do it. He refuses to cut his hair. But on the way home from your store, he was very quiet. And we almost got home and he said, 'Mom, do I really look like a lady?' And she said, 'Yes, you do.' And he said the next day he went and got his hair cut and he's not wearing earrings anymore." Now you think about that. We don't want to give of our time. We're afraid of what will happen when we give our advice. Sometimes a stern word is what people need. You know? And we just follow the Lord. That's what this is all about. It's following, putting the Lord first. Following what He says to do. Well, my time has run out, but y'all read ahead in this and y'all see. I know this has not been a message to the lost, but you too need to put the Lord first. Put Him first. Trust in the Lord. Believe on Him. And He'll save you. That's what He said. So it was mentioned down in the question and answers. What Paul and Silas told the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Believe on Him. Come to the Lord, your lost condition, and He'll save you just as you are. You come to Him all made up, trying to make yourself look pretty, He's not going to accept you. Because He only accepts you as a lost sinner. That's the only way He'll accept you. So you come as that way to Him. Thank you for your attention.